You're with Clement Magnatella on 702.
Live, streaming countrywide.
On the Prime Media Plus app.
DStv Channel 856.
92.7.
And 106 FM.
Seven minutes after 9 o'clock. Dumelang, happy Friday. Welcome to the Clement Magnatella Show. It's great to have you with us here on 702. I hope you're well this morning. I hope you had a great week, man. And I hope you're ready to start the weekend. If you're doing the Two Oceans Marathon in Cape Town this weekend, good luck to you. Are you ready? Have you been training? Are you looking forward to it? I wish you all the best. I actually wish I was doing the Two Oceans. It's one of my favorites. I did it last year. I did it a year before. I can't do it this year because I've got another run next week. But if you are doing it, I'm wishing you all the best. And I hope you have trained and you're ready for it. It's Friday. So every Friday, we do Gratitude Friday on the 702 open line. This is where you can call and tell us what you are grateful for this week. Let's put a smile on your face. Did she say yes to that proposal? Did you pass that exam? Maybe your loved one was in hospital and they're now out. Maybe you're grateful for a new job, for an interview, whatever it is. Grateful to be alive. What are you grateful for this week? 011-883-0702. That's the number to dial. You can send us a WhatsApp voice note on 072-702-1702. Between 10 and 11 o'clock, I'm so excited. Because on Across the Desk today, I'm going to be hosting people I really looked up to when I was young. When I was in secondary school, when I was in high school, I used to rush home to watch your TV. Because I saw these young people who were so bright, who were brilliant broadcasters. And I've just always enjoyed watching them, listening to them. So today, I'm going to host Child Stars on our Across the Desk feature. I want them to tell us more about that journey. It's one thing to be popular and be influential and enter this broadcasting industry, television or radio, when you're an adult. It's another thing to do it when you are incredibly young. So today, I'm going to be hosting Dineo Ntshabele. You probably remember her as Angela on your TV back in the day. I'm also going to be hosting Sipho Ngwenya, who's also known as Sipho. Remember him? They want to join me between 10 and 11 o'clock and tell us about where things are now. But more importantly, just that journey as child stars. And then at 11 o'clock, we're going to do our relationship feature. I want us to talk about managing expectations today on our relationship feature. How do you manage unrealistic expectations? I mean, relationships are filled with lots of expectations. You know, when you're entering a relationship, couples usually have a predetermined set of standards about how they like to be treated or how their relationship will look. Yeah. And these are important because they can point you in the right direction of your standards, of your boundaries. That can play a pivotal role in shaping the dynamics of a relationship. But one of the greatest relationship destroyers are unrealistic expectation. Like you're expecting something out of the relationship that the other is either ignorant of, unwilling to provide, or simply unable to provide. You know those people who expect that, oh no, I'll never be hurt by this person. That's an unrealistic expectation because we are human beings. We're human beings and we make mistakes. You may be hurt in one way or the other by my actions. I may be hurt by your actions. So expecting people never to hurt you? Oh, I want to get whatever I want in this relationship. Oh, you're expecting your partner to be with you all the time. That's an unrealistic expectation. Your partner must guess what's going on in your mind. As if they're, even sangomas don't do that. Even prophets don't do that. Expecting each other to be each other's top priority. Expecting your partner to always look attractive. That is not possible. Unless you're Angelina Jolie. But Lena, at some point, things are going to change. So, When you're harboring unrealistic expectations in a relationship, that can build a mountain of frustration, can build resentment, anger, and then that puts stress on your relationship and it can ultimately ruin it. I want you to share your experiences as well at 11 o'clock about unrealistic expectations and how you manage that when you start a new relationship. That's between 11 and 12 o'clock on our relationship feature. That's the show coming up over the next 3 hours.
702.
Let's walk the talk.
Good morning, 702 family. Good morning, Brother Clement. Yo. Bibi Madiba from Soweto. I am grateful to God for keeping me 4.5 years waiting for my case, unfair labor dismissal case, to be sitting very soon. Yippee! I'm going to get justice. Thank you, Lord. Thank you to my family. Thank you to my friends. Thank you to my family at church. Thank you to all the people that prayed for me. 4.5 years without an income, and after losing everything, God is good.
Oh,
thank you, Clement.
That's good incredible. Show. That's incredible. I'm so happy for you as well. I can only imagine how stressful something like that must have been for you over that period. I'm so glad that it's now resolved.
Good morning. Good morning. This is Ella. Can I just say, on this grateful day, I am happy, healthy and blessed. I am super grateful for my extended family at 702. It's like we're so authentic. I know the regulars that call in, my musical family on the weekends, the presenters that's giving us so much of themselves. And I am so grateful for that, because even if I want to get into a dark spot, 702 is always there to uplift me. So that makes me very grateful for today.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
So there's a statement that's come from the IEC. You may have heard in Eyewitness News, the Electoral Commission has now approached the Constitutional Court for clarity on Section 47(1)(e) of the Constitution. The statement says that the Commission confirms that it's launched an urgent and direct appeal to the Constitutional Court relating to the order of the Electoral Court setting aside its decision following the appeal by the MK Party. The Commission believes that there's substantial public interest in providing certainty on the proper interpretation of 47(1)(e) and its interplay with the powers of the Commission to adjudicate objections to candidates. They're saying such clarity is important in the present matter because of a live issue, but also for future elections. It's furthermore important that such legal clarification is obtained from the highest court in the land, which has constitutional matter jurisdiction, hence a direct appeal to the Constitutional Court. The Commission wishes to emphasize that this appeal is not intended to involve itself in the political field of play. It is rather to ensure free and fair elections by ensuring the applicable constitutional provisions related to elections are clearly understood by all role players and applied evenly. We therefore wish for the matter to be determined before the date of the elections. That's a statement that was issued by the Electoral Commission. What's interesting for me here is that we don't have a full judgment still. We don't, unless the Commission has it already, but I don't think we do. What that means is that we don't know what led to the court clearing the way for the former president to stand as a candidate in parliament. So remember, Jacob Zuma's lawyers had about 3, if not 4, main arguments in their case. And the interpretation of Section 47 is exactly part of their arguments. So the Commission clearly believes that the judges have found against them because they were sold by the argument presented by Jacob Zuma's lawyers on the interpretation of Section 47. Remember, Section 47 deals with barring people who have been convicted and sentenced to it's a 12 months without an option of a fine, blah, blah, blah. But Zuma's lawyers were arguing that, well, he got remission. So that sentence for Zuma was actually reduced from about 15 months to like 3 months. And on that basis, it's unfair, you know, to say, to judge him on the 12 months. We spoke about this last week already. It's going to be interesting. We spoke about this week. It's going to be interesting to see how this unfolds. But yeah, the IEC says they're appealing that decision while they wait for the full judgment. And they're hoping that the Constitutional Court will give clarity before the elections.
Your voice,
your questions,
your morning radio with Clement Maniatella.
This is 702.
I want us to talk about Ponzi schemes in a moment, but I want you to listen to this clip because it's the funniest clip I've seen this entire week. Yeah? So e-tolls were switched off. We spoke about e-tolls yesterday on the open line. They were switched off last night at the stroke of midnight. There was a switch-off party. I'm going to call it that. Some celebration of sorts by government. Yo, listen to what happened at midnight as they were switching off the e-tolls.
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Yes.
Yes. Okay. I'm cringing. I'm actually getting goosebumps. So that's a transport minister. At this switch-off party, the Gauteng Premier is there. You know, other officials are there. They're switching off e-tolls. And you would be mistaken to think, oh, this is a new government. Like, they're reversing the wrongs of the previous government. I was so confused watching that. Huh? These are people who are solving the problem that they created. They're celebrating, rectifying their own expensive mistake. Huh? Imagine patting yourself on the back like that for solving a problem that you have created yourself. So bizarre, man. It's 19 minutes after 9.
702.
The Clement Maniatella Show.
Let's walk the talk.
Okay, Ponzi schemes. Motheo Kgeripe has been reporting this morning about the Financial Sector Conduct Authority sending out a public warning discouraging consumers from doing business with... what companies are they, Motheo?
It's IndieBerries.
IndieBerries and Co.
Yeah.
What do they do?
So they're purporting to represent around 300 berry farmers, and then you invest in these berry farmers that happen to be in 7 countries around the world. You throw in maybe 1,000 rand investment, and they're promising in about 2 weeks to give you more than 2,000 rand back. So more than 45% of your investment. And, you know, they're saying they have around 300,000, investors in the scheme, but the FSCA says they're not registered with them. So, be careful. Don't also get into, companies that don't have FSPs. You do hear that as we play here on 702, whenever it's a bank or an insurer, they are a financial services provider. So you always need to check whether the person you're giving your money is registered. The FSCA says this particular company isn't.
Yeah. So how prevalent is this issue of Ponzi schemes? I would imagine after Triple M, remember that?
I remember
people
Triple
would
M.
be very cautious.
Well, Clement, Ponzi schemes have been there since the 1900s. Charles Ponzi was one of the first Italian immigrants to have a Ponzi scheme. He duped people out of a lot of money. So it's been happening since then, and it will continue to happen because it comes from overconfidence. I was speaking to Viv Govender yesterday from Rand Swiss that you could be introduced to a Ponzi scheme by someone you trust who perhaps works for a bank, or you know that they are an investor themselves, and they could be duped by other, you know, Ponzi scheme holders. Because, I mean, how Ponzi schemes work is that somebody has to take you onto the Ponzi scheme for you to pay the investors that started with the Ponzi scheme. So it's always a marketing exercise of, if you take on five people, the sixth member will pay out 10,000 to your scheme. So it always needs you to do a lot of work and needs you to pay a whole lot more before you make the money.
Sure. Are the people at the top the ones who normally benefit the most of the time? So who start on the pyramid?
That's sure, the yeah, that's how it works. The
when
highest
it goes down, it's
crumbling.
The most
paid.
Yeah.
Look, some professional investors say by the time you hear about a Ponzi scheme, it's too late. Don't enter.
Oh.
So while it's still a secret, maybe you might make a little more, yeah, a bit of money. But when it becomes famous, like Triple M was, it was, yeah, all over the place on WhatsApps, and before people knew it, they'd lost a lot of their money.
Sure. Yeah. Mateo, thank you so much, man. I wanted Mateo to just give us context about this, because when I heard it this morning, I thought, what? And the reason that really got my attention is because apparently I am into Forex. Someone has started like a fake Facebook account with my name and surname, with all my pictures. And they're claiming that I am helping people bring in money. I'll invest it for you and I'll triple it in like 5 days. So how I was alerted to this was a cousin of mine who calls and says, hey, why did you stop responding to my messages? I've sent the money. It's like, what are you talking about? It's like, you said I must send that money and then it's going to come back. It's going to triple in.
So
like,
they didn't contact you directly?
They didn't contact me. So they spoke to this person on Facebook. My cousin was convinced that is,
yes,
me, because the person has all my pictures. They go and take all my pictures.
That's
from
what
everywhere
they do.
Else.
They use
it looks legit
credibility to sell,
yeah,
the Ponzi scheme, and it doesn't help you always in suits. So they're like, no, this guy's probably making a whole lot of money, so I should
only
invest.
Only they knew. Yeah, so we have to be very careful even with that. Like, don't just, like as Motel said, you have to check if that's even registered. That's very important. Here's what I'm asking you this morning. Have you been part of a Ponzi scheme? Huh? Maybe you're one of those that got into it while it was still a secret and you were able to make big money. Or maybe you're one of those that came in and you've lost an incredible amount of money. As I say, there are family members that have sent monies to this person who was talking to them on Facebook. And they say to me, yo, we've sent the money. I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, I don't even use Facebook anymore. I had to go log in on Facebook so I can post and say, guys, beware of these accounts. I've been reporting these accounts for too long and it hasn't really helped because they're still operating. We need to be vigilant. We really need to be vigilant. A childhood friend of mine, when I was home for Easter, said to me, hey, I've got 50,000 rand. I want you to invest it for me wherever. As long as where you do your investments, where it can triple. I was like, I don't have investments like that where I put in money triples in 2 days or 2 weeks. Like, no, just put it anywhere. I've got it here. I'll give it to you. Just put it anywhere where it triples or doubles. So people out there are desperate for that quick cash. But the problem is you also run the risk of really losing big time. So we need to be very careful out there. Have you ever been scammed through a Ponzi scheme? Or have you made big monies through a Ponzi scheme? Because it started in the beginning. Maybe you didn't really understand the structure they got you on in the beginning and you didn't lose that much. I'd like you to share your experiences with us on 011-883-0702. The WhatsApp line, 072-702-1702.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
Good morning, Clement. Talking about Ponzi scheme, I would love to warn the 702 listeners, family. Last year, they actually appear on Telegram. You know, you've got a lot of them. They are disguised using a lot of companies that I won't mention, investment companies and insurance companies. And some actually are related to Bitcoin, and they are various. I was actually scammed of an amount of over 60,000 last year. They are very subtly, they really appear, and most of them also are related to advertising and clicking links on YouTube. So they start as such until they lure you into investing, and eventually they end up taking all your money. So I know that probably a lot of the listeners know. They are related to Telegram. They appear as Telegram. So they will send you a message and they will sell it to you. And then the next thing is you put your money, and then after some time, you lose your money. Thank you.
Be careful out there, guys. Bonnie, you're calling us from Sandton. You want to talk about that big party at midnight? Hi, Bonnie.
Hey, we go out.
Hey, Tara. Oh, baby, ile bo ni mo.
Yeah, no, yeah.
And what change? Today you call us Madimecha, tomorrow you are Bonnie.
I'm just used to using this
okay.
Because, yeah, it's easy for people to pronounce.
Okay, no worries, man. Yeah. Go ahead, what do you want to say?
Yeah, okay, before I get to my point, let me talk about a point scheme. I'll be honest with you. I've always been a little bit screwed up on them, but I wished to be to be involved in the early stages of just your one fella, because I know normally how they work. If it's in the early stages, because they will still want to prove themselves to us. So they do pay out until but whoever convinced and bring lots more cash. So I wanted I always wished to be that one oil more in the early stages.
You get
I
put
in the town and get times three. But yeah, anyway, with regards to the switch off party, it's not a first time where we are celebrating a solution to the problem that was created by the government themselves. Let me take you back to when we had to celebrate. I said to him, cancel this thing, if you remember those words. The 52 million rand flag that was supposed to continue.
The president intervened and
I said to him, cancel this. I still remember those words, and I find them very hilarious.
South Africa, alive with possibilities. Let's go to Ngwatu in Germiston. Ngwatu, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Madam Major. How are you?
Hey, Gimnati, wena?
Ah, Linda Gishabu Brayaga. I want to talk about this Ponzi scheme, Triple M. There's a cousin of mine whom I trust so much. So he introduced me to this Triple M. So I'm not a fan of this kind of this Ponzi scheme, but because that cousin of mine, I trust him, and he always helped me with everything I need. So he said to me, "Hey, my brother, hey, this is a money making a quick buck, man. You can make a quick buck here." I said, "How?" I asked him how. He said, "Oh, there's a Triple M. I'm gonna send you the details." So I said, "Okay, my brother, do you trust these things?" He said, "I trust them. You know myself that I'm not a fan of these things, but So I now my wife told me this thing is working.
Yeah.
She's got this much. I now panic. He told me that okay, my brother, let's start with a little amount. I gave him 1,000 rand. I gave him 1,000 rand. He said, okay, you can just log in. He gave me the details of logging in. I log in. After one day, I think I had about 1,100 something. I said, no, this is coming. So after 2-3 days, I log in again. Mine was gone. Boom, everything. So when I look into Triple M again, they said Triple M has been suspended. Can look on after a few days. After a few days, I look on again. After that, I realized my mind is gone, and I couldn't even tell my cousin that my brother bring back my money, because he used to help me and I trust him. So I was so disappointed and heartbroken, my brother. I said to myself, I'll never do that again.
Yeah, at least you've learned some lessons to survive.
I've learned some lessons, buddy major. Yeah. Yo. And the problem is that I'm not a fan of those things, because it was my cousin who I trust, and I said, no, let me just do it. Maybe it can be something, but I lost.
Askis, man. Askis Tuso in Johannesburg. Careful. Always be cautious. And sometimes these things happen so that we learn something, and we can be a lot wiser the next time we're confronted with the same situation.
And now
it's back to Clement Maniatella.
This is 702.
It's the 702 open line. Your calls and your WhatsApps. It's 24 minutes before 10 o'clock. We have been talking about Ponzi schemes. Have you ever made big bucks from a Ponzi scheme? Have you ever lost big time? I'm seeing messages on the WhatsApp line. People have lost like 100,000 rand. You know, someone had tweeted and saying they lost 1 million rand. Like, there are people who've lost big, but there are also people who got onto it early enough to make some big bucks. But also, the switch off party at midnight. And no, it's not a party in a sense that there were drinks and there were, no, it's just like it was a celebratory event where they went to the gantry. It was like a switch off, like a symbolic switch off. At one of the gantries on the highway. But they're celebrations, man. That's just so weird to listen to. It's like, you know, sometimes some of these things are necessary. You've already held a briefing to explain that, you know what? We've actually heard you as members of the public. But because you want to create an impression, because also remember, this is silly season. Elections are coming up in a couple of days. You want to create an impression that, oh, look at us. Look, hey, we did this. Yes, you did this. A correction of what you did also 10 years ago. So sometimes these things are unnecessary. Move on. But because the impression wants to be created that, oh, look, we've just scrapped them. Who introduced them? Makashule Ghana, you're calling from Johannesburg. Good morning.
Good morning, Clement, and good morning to the listeners. Just two quick ones. The first one is just to be grateful. Grateful to all the friends and volunteers who put up our posters around the country. So very grateful as a chief organizer this morning. The second issue is on this party that happened late last night and early this morning by these politicians. And they must not tell lies, and they should not claim easy victories. The victory around the e-tolls belongs to civic society, especially outer. It belongs to the motorist in Gauteng that refused to pay for the e-tolls. So they must not tell lies and claim easy victories as if they themselves were not the creators of the e-tolls. So they cannot celebrate when they are the ones who brought e-tolls here. If they had not brought e-tolls, there wouldn't be a switch-off party. So they must not tell lies. They must not claim easy victories. And what is becoming clear is that there are new leaders that are needed, not only in Gauteng, but across the country. Because you can't have leaders celebrating, correcting their mistakes.
Yeah, well, we've also seen visuals of some councillors who go and do a whole event while they're opening a tap, like they're launching a tap that a community is going to share. I get Tuso in Joburg. Hi.
Good morning, Clement. How are you?
Hi, I'm not.
I'm not the Tuso of the point of scheme. I haven't invested. A quick one, Clement. I want to talk about the party. You see, with Panyaza, nothing new about it. Panyaza Lesufu thinks it's the best ever political thing to happen in Gauteng. Remember when he called cameras and said he was taking the Orenia case to the Concord and speaking there confidently with a scarf on his neck as if he was suffocating. Fast forward, he introduced the crime wardens. He had a guard of honor. He was walking there elegantly as if it's something that's going to change the life. And these crime wardens, they work 8 to 4. During the night when crime is ravaging, they are nowhere to be found. With Panyaza is a victim of publicity about him. He's a populist who has been allowed to run amok using state money. I don't know why people are not taking to task and question, particularly the media. Because Panyaza has been doing things and he doesn't want to be challenged. He doesn't want to be questioned by media. He changes everything, plays victim. So I'm not surprised by what he did when people were watching soccer midnight. Thank you.
Yo, Tuso, you said so many things, man. You know, it's not true. Oh, okay, he's gone. So, you know, I always worry about sometimes the comments we make that we generalize. And I say this very respectfully, right? I think sometimes, you know, people have an urge to just like, oh, I'm going to call and just make a general statement, or just like, it's not based on anything. But I really think, like, if we want to have engagements, we must also like, and I've said this before, like, we must also do work in understanding. Like, you can't lie and say wardens work 1 to 4. That's not true. It's 24 hours. But you see, when you come from a position of, I know for sure, you're not even asking. Because it's one thing to say, oh, by the way, the wardens, do they work during the day or do they work at night? You know? But the minute you want to personalize things like that, then you lose the argument. You lose the messaging you're trying to send out. Because maybe you feel so much hatred for Panyaza Lesufi. And I always say, we can still criticize people, but we don't need to manufacture facts. Right? That's why I'm saying, Tuso is saying a lot of things, and some of them are completely not true. But thank you for calling, for your contribution, Tuso. I think we also sometimes need to be fair. And again, when I even criticize the Eto'o system, I'll still be fair enough to say, give credit to Panyaza, where it's due, in that he is one of the people who came in and said, this system doesn't work. You should have listened to the people. And I'm not saying he's perfect, but I'm saying it would be false to also claim that he's one of the proponents of the Eto'o system. He's always wanted it. He's not the reason that the Eto'o system is there. COSATU was putting pressure on government. AUTA was putting pressure on government. The Gauteng ANC, which he leads in government and in the ANC, has been putting pressure on government. They were frustrated when Tito Mboweni was the finance minister because his stance was completely different to what Enoch Godongwana has now. So all I'm saying is, sometimes just be fair. Like, don't hate people that much that you want to manufacture facts and say things about them that are not necessarily true. Mike, you're calling us from Pretoria. You want to talk about these Ponzi schemes. How much did you lose?
Hi, Clement. I lost 150,000.
My goodness.
Yeah, I was staying in Durban at the time. So, In fact, it was around the time of Triple M. So I did make a bit of money through Triple M. I think it gave me a bit of confidence that I couldn't have had in me.
How much did you make there?
I probably made, it was not, you know, lump, but it was probably in excess of 8,000, I think, if I'm
calculating. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I became confident in them, you know, and so there was a group of guys called Morongo. So what they would do is they would on your initial investment.
Sorry, they would do what, Mike? We lost you there?
They would invest. They were saying that they would invest into Forex.
Yeah.
And you would get a 30% return every on your initial investment.
So they would take your money invested in Forex and you get about 30% back on your investment. In how long?
Every month.
Every month.
I feel like, you know, I feel so bad that I believed in this. But in my first investment, it took me 2 years to actually invest, because what I did, I was close to one of the employees, so I'd always check on if they are paying the current people. And it seemed as though everything was going well for 2 years. After 2 years, I spoke to my father-in-law, I spoke to my aunt at the time and the sister, and they all agreed to put in money. So,
oh my goodness.
Between all of us, 150K. So we put them in. The first month we did get the 30% interest. I think it was 22,000.
Yeah.
Then the following month after, the thing fell apart.
Oh my goodness.
So yeah, it created havoc in the family.
Yeah, you know, because now, did they blame you, Mike? Because were you the one that suggested it?
Yeah, I was blamed, you know. Obviously, because of the relationship.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Mike. Yeah, I'm sorry. I have to cut that call because it's not so clear. But I think we got the point you made in the beginning. Yo, imagine your father-in-law, like, you go and you say, come on, let's put money together. And then boom, it all collapses. What a tricky situation. It's 14 minutes before 10.
702.
WhatsApp Clement
on 072
702
1702.
12 minutes before 10 o'clock.
Morning, 702 family. I am so grateful to God for keeping me strong and alive amidst the turmoil that we're going through as a family currently. Thank you, God. Mabatsidi.
Hi, Clement. This is Tembeka from Benoni. What am I grateful for? A lot. I'm grateful that I'm alive. I woke up this morning. I'm grateful for the families that I have. I'm grateful that I know God. You know, when you come across people, especially on TikTok, I learn a lot from TikTok. But when you come across people that don't even know that there is a God, don't even know that you must pray, you know, I'm grateful that I know God, you know, and I praise God. And I think that is big, hey? Thanks, Clement.
Good morning, Clement. I am grateful this today. I was hijacked on the 17th of March. And then, the Tsotsis damaged my car. We recovered the car through Tracker. I'm grateful that my claim was approved by King Price. Thank you.
Thank you for your WhatsApps. What are you grateful for this week? On the WhatsApp line, someone is commenting about the decision by the IEC to approach the Constitutional Court for clarity on Section 47(1)(e) of the Constitution. Simon says, Clement, I'm happy with the action that the IEC has taken by taking the Zuma issue to the Concord. We should not be bullied by Zuma and Mpofu. If the elections have to be postponed, so be it. Come on, guys. But when you say we should not be bullied by Mpofu and Zuma, who's we? Do you know that there was a full bench of judges? How many were they? Three who were hearing this case? In the Electoral Court, they made the decision to issue out that order that the IEC has to set aside its decision to bar Zuma from standing as a candidate. So when you say we should not be bullied, are you suggesting that the judges who were hearing this matter were bullied by Jacob Zuma and Dalim Pofu? I don't think so. I think judges just interpreted the arguments that Zuma's lawyers made, and they were convinced by maybe all of them or some of them. We just don't know which ones because we don't have the full judgment yet. And the IEC is within its right to appeal that in the Constitutional Court so that there's clarity as soon as possible. Because if anything, this judgment, this order from the Electoral Court to the IEC setting aside its decision to bar Zuma to stand because of how they interpreted Section 47, that sets a legal precedent for our electoral system on what's allowed and what's not allowed. Section 47 bars individuals that are sentenced to prison for longer than 12 months without the option of a fine from becoming MPs. But it's been interpreted differently by Advocate Dalim Pofu. It was also interpreted differently by Tembeka Ngukaitobi, Advocate Ngukaitobi, who was arguing for the IEC. That's why I've been saying I cannot wait to read that judgment, because I wonder which argument out of, say, the three that Advocate Dalim Pofu argued convinced the judges that the decision by the IEC was wrong. It's going to be so interesting, but it's important that the IEC gets clarity on this, and maybe the Constitutional Court can assist so that before even the elections, so that it's very clear here how this Section 47 must be interpreted. If indeed it's exactly what has somehow convinced the judges that the IEC was wrong. I'm just surprised that the IEC is already going to the Constitutional Court when they haven't even seen the full judgment yet. But I also understand that it's probably because they want the Constitutional Court to do this as urgently as possible, because elections are coming up in a couple of days. Edwin in Rosebank. Good morning.
Morning. How are you, Clement?
I'm okay, man. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. In fact, I just want to comment about the measure that you're just talking about.
Yeah.
Of the IEC.
But maybe let me go back to what you just said about the supplies that you are having for the IEC having to approach the constitutional court before getting the full judgment. It's not uncommon to do that, even though courts normally will say that it is imperative for you first to check the full judgment and see whether indeed you've got grounds to appeal or not. But as you said, this is urgent. As a country, we're going to the elections on the 29th. So we can't be waiting for the electoral court, which did not even tell us when will they give us full reasons. As far as I'm concerned, where I'm sitting, those reasons are yet to be given. They have not been given.
Yeah.
But most importantly, Clement, as you said, it is very imperative, Clement, that the Constitutional Court put things on the matter and tell us exactly how Section 47 should be interpreted. I mean, it's a constitutional provision because it's Section 47 of the Constitution. And who's in a better place to interpret that section for us? The Constitutional Court. Even though I haven't seen the full judgment from the Electoral Court, I still think that they haven't really delved into Section 47 and give it a real interpretation, especially if you remember when Judge Mudiba was asking Advocate Mugai Toby about the period of 5 years. When did it lapse? Is it the 29th or when? That he was frustrating Mugai Toby because Mugai Toby took it from the 12-month period.
Yes.
And then wanted to deal with it in the last provision that dealt with 5 months or 5 years? I don't remember what it said. But the judge was only hoping on the latter part of the section, but not the former part. So I could understand the frustration of Ndubuya Toby there because the judge was really not, according to me, not really giving me the proper interpretation. But I think
the 5 years, I feel like didn't matter because the 5 years don't matter because whether Zuma served 3 months or served the full 12 or 15 months, the 5 years still haven't lapsed. So that's
it hasn't lapsed. I mean, indeed. I mean, why do you even have to hop on 5 years? It hasn't lapsed.
Can I tell you what's confusing me?
It doesn't count.
Edwin, in their statement, the IEC says, and I quote here, the commission believes that there is substantial public interest in providing certainty on the proper interpretation of Section 47(1)(e) of the Constitution. For me, the IEC has already decided that the Electoral Court made its decision based on the interpretation of Section 47(1)(e) of the Constitution. But we don't know that. Remember, one of the arguments that Limpopo made was that there's bias on the part of Jeanette Young, who's one of the commissioners at the IEC, because they believe she prejudged the matter. So it could very well, the Electoral Court could come and say, well, Jeanette Young should have actually recused herself. And it's on that basis that we feel, set aside that decision, start the process again. But the IEC has somehow decided, no, it must be Section 47. But we don't know that.
You know, we don't know that. And exactly the IEC, not the IEC, the Electoral Court has not even given us the ruling. But I think, one, when he uses or when he employs a foresight or a foresmell, if there is something called a foresmell, you will note that the order might hinge on that interpretation.
Yeah.
And Constitutional Court is better suited and better placed.
And they've got backlogs there, so the sooner you go, the better.
But I think they will expedite it because it's a matter of national importance. The elections are coming.
True.
We can't wait for any other matters between Clement and Edwin to drop the flock. So they must deal with this one.
Prioritize it, yeah. Edwin, thanks, man. Thanks. Great contribution there. It's Jeanette Love, not Young. Where am I getting Young?